KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel.
We must realize that the healing power of spirit is within each and every one of us. We each have the power to heal not only ourselves, but our world and all those around us. Spirit expressing through us as a kind word, a caring touch, or a simple smile may be all that it takes. When we realize who we are, the blessings we have been given, the power we embody, we have tapped into the source of our healing ability. Every day, we have at least one opportunity to help a friend, a loved one, or even a stranger, regardless of the color of our skin, our economic status, our social or political philosophy. It is our responsibility to do what we can, when we can, to assure that someone else does better. Today, let us become aware of the healing power within and dedicate ourselves to uplifting those we touch. Affirmation. Through the healing power of the spirit within, I bless others today. That comes from the book Acts of Faith, Iyanla Van Zandt. Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. We're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. How did this book come about?
Well, it began about a decade ago. I got a phone call in 2008 from a radio show host named Joe Graydon, who has a program called The People's Pharmacy. He had contacted me because patients were calling him and reporting that they were having terrible side effects when they were switched to certain generic drugs. He took those complaints to the FDA, and officials there basically told him when patients are switched, they have psychosomatic reactions because the color and the shape of the pill is different. But he really found that answer inadequate. He knew me as an investigative journalist of long standing and suggested that I look into what was wrong with the drugs. It was that phone call which launched me into a decade-long reporting odyssey that ended up taking me to these very remote pharmaceutical plants in India and China where the majority of our low-cost medicine is made.
When did we switch from having the pharmaceutical factories here in America to other countries?
It was a gradual process. I mean, we used to make all the world's antibiotics. That began to change in the early 2000 period. China stepped up as a big manufacturer of antibiotics. Other drugs followed. But it was really the HIV/AIDS crisis that transformed our drug supply. Interestingly, the Indian pharma companies stepped up as low-cost manufacturers who could manufacture the needed AIDS drug cocktail for a dollar a day. And that price continued to fall. The U.S. government was buying AIDS drugs for Africans, and it began to dawn on us, well, we're taking all these brand-name drugs we can't afford. We're clearing these Indian generics to go to Africa. Why don't we take those drugs, too? And that's really sort of the dawn of this transformation of our drug supply, which is today 90% generic.
You know, generic drugs are supposed to be the salvation of humanity. Since name brand drugs are so expensive, or more like designer drugs, that generics are supposed to be just as good as the name brand ones without the name. Is that not true?
Well, in theory, it's true, and in some instances, it has been true. But what I uncovered is a widespread culture of fraud and data fabrication at these overseas plants. The FDA largely regulates our generics on an honor system. Companies submit data to the FDA showing that the drugs are what is called bioequivalent, that they operate the same in the body as the brand name drug. Then the FDA will perform what's called a pre-approval inspection at the plant. But when they go and inspect overseas, they give companies advance notice of weeks and sometimes months that their inspectors are coming. That gives these plants the opportunity to clean up, to fabricate documents, to clean up bird infestations at horrible conditions, so that the plants that the FDA ends up approving to make our life-saving drugs are not actually the ones they're seeing. I mean, they're very, very different because of this advance notice and other failures in regulation.
I saw an interview with a guy who was an inspector, and he talked about going down a long hall and seeing a guy. Apparently, he didn't anticipate running into him, and that they have a very short window of time in order to, in fact, do their inspection. And when he saw them, he went in the other direction. He yelled for him to stop, and the man threw the bag and went running, and in the bag, all of the data that they were throwing away was in that bag. Most of it had been falsified. From the standpoint of not only people's health, but even from the standpoint of economics, how does it make sense to not have safe conditions for generic drugs?
Generic companies want to be first into our market, and they want to make their drugs as cheaply as they can and sell them at as great a profit as they can. What I uncovered in Bottle of Lies is that some of these companies are actually undercutting their own product. They are deliberately making poor quality drugs, which cost less to make with fewer safeguards, and then selling those into more regulated, costly markets like our own. The regulations that they are required to follow are called good manufacturing practices. That requires very strict observance to detailed regulations. A lot of that has to do with data, that they have to maintain data of each manufacturing step in a completely transparent manner. The investigator who you were talking about, his name is Peter Baker. He's one of the people that readers will meet in the book. He realized that some of these companies were operating these hidden laboratory operations where they're actually pre-testing the drugs, trying to figure out if they'll pass the tests or not. And if they don't pass, then they figure out how to manipulate the tests and the testing parameters. Then they'll test on the computer system that the FDA will look at. It all looks transparent and it all looks great because the drugs pass. But in fact, these are failing quality drugs that are being sort of artificially tested with the tests manipulated so they'll be approved.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. As we're talking about regulation, many politicians will tell us that we're the most regulated country in the world and that that seems to be the problem with business. Why business isn't able to make more money is because we have too much regulation.
On paper, the FDA has the same standard for plants that operate in the U.S. and plants that operate overseas. You know, and the FDA will be quick to point out that those plants overseas are required to follow the same strict regulations. What I set out to figure out is, are they? What I discovered was, in many cases, they are not, and the FDA is either not uncovering some of this fraud, or when their own investigators do uncover the fraud, the FDA officials back in Maryland are actually downgrading recommended sanctions against these plants.
Why? Are they not in violation of their entire purpose?
They are, and it's a good question as to why. And I think the answer is there is no plan B for our drug supply. We can't afford brand name drugs. There are already drug shortages. These low-cost drugs are a political solution, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the FDA to approve these drugs. And if they didn't approve these drugs, we might be facing even worse drug shortages. I think the FDA has taken the path of sort of closing their eyes to some extent, ignoring evidence to some extent, and signing off on drugs that their own investigators have flagged as dangerous or substandard.
Bottle of Lies is what we're talking about, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is who we're talking with. It is disturbing, to say the least. Help me to understand, what has happened this past year with high blood pressure medication?
Right. As it turned out, millions of Americans were taking a blood pressure medicine, Valsartan, and then another one, Losartan. The active ingredients were being manufactured in China, very typical in our globalized drug supply. European regulators discovered the active ingredient had a carcinogen in it that is actually used in the production of liquid rocket fuel. The reason that that carcinogen was in it is because the company making the active ingredient had taken certain manufacturing shortcuts to increase the yield of the drug. Regulators had signed off on this, and then lo and behold, the result was this toxic impurity. And in fact, it's interesting because the FDA's own inspection at that plant had revealed that the company was ignoring toxic impurities in its drugs. But that was one of the plants that they downgraded, as we discussed. Europe went ahead and started with these recalls. They spread around the world, and millions of Americans have found that their blood pressure medicine has been recalled. But it is really part of this global picture that I describe in the book of under-regulated plants, increasing profits, shortening manufacturing steps, and the result is toxic impurities in our drugs.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Summer at the Cedar 2026, a series of free weekly outdoor concerts on the Cedar Plaza, every Wednesday evening from July 8th through August 5th. Wednesday, August 5th, Summer at the Cedar presents Daniel Villarreal. Drummer, percussionist, and composer, Daniel Villarreal thrives across genres. He blends elements of funk, blues, soul, psychedelia, rock, jazz, and Latin into a sound that is personal and unmistakable. More information about Summer at the Cedar is available at thecedar.org.
We're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. It seems that far too many of us feel like we're not getting treated unless we are prescribed some form of medication. And the majority of our elders are on anywhere from 5 to 20 different medications for one thing or another. Who is regulating that so that us, well, not only our elders, but that all of us are safe if we're taking the medication? It seems like that if you go into an emergency room and they want to know the medication that you're on and you say that you're not and you're of a certain age, they say that you're lying. You have to be on a certain medication. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just perplexed in terms of keeping the public safe.
Right. In theory, the FDA is regulating all of these drugs, and it has made the claim that any drug it approves is safe to take. One of the companies that I write about in the book, Rambaxi, was India's largest generic drug company, and at one point was the fastest growing generic company in our market. Lots of their drugs on the market. It turned out the company had engaged in widespread fraud in the applications it was sending to regulators around the world. So it was inventing data that made the claim that the drugs were bioequivalent, were safe, had been tested. And this was exposed by a whistleblower in 2005 who came forward to the FDA. The FDA started investigating. They knew this company was saturated with fraud, and yet they kept approving their drugs. In 2011, they gave Rambaxi permission to launch the biggest generic in the history of the U.S. market. It was a generic Lipitor. A year later, those drugs had to be recalled because they were suffused with glass particles. 1 year after that, Rambaxi pleaded guilty to 7 felonies related to fabricating data. There is a disconnect between what the FDA's regulators are approving and what the FDA's investigators are uncovering. We're all sort of the collateral damage in terms of the drugs that we're taking.
This might seem like a really strange question, Catherine. Are you safe exposing all of this information?
Let's put it this way. I am certainly not on the generic drug industry's Christmas card list anymore. I think that's fair. They have attacked me online, attacked the book, but they really haven't been able to knock it down in any way because, you know, I have spent a decade connecting these dots all over the world, and it's documented. I mean, the book is based on 20,000 internal confidential FDA documents I obtain, confidential corporate records. I've read hundreds of FDA inspection reports. None of the names in my book have been changed. Mm-hmm. So it is a, you know, true account of what is happening out there in these plants that are making our drugs. I would say that probably this sort of reporting does come with certain risks, but, you know, once you start reporting a story like this, you just don't really stop.
Thank you for doing this incredible research and exposing this to us. My sister was continually sending me texts about things that were being recalled, and I couldn't believe that there could be that many recalls on medication. And when I'm thinking about it, and I think about the opioid epidemic in this country, are painkillers also generic?
They are generic. A number of those medications are made under the same conditions that we've been discussing. I mean, there's really no drugs that are exempt from this, but that is to say some companies out there are doing it right, but many others are not. It's this old adage, follow the money. I mean, that's what I did in this investigation. For generic drug manufacturers, there has long been an incentive in the drug application. If you're what's called first to file, if you're the first generic drug manufacturer that files an approved application with the FDA to launch a certain drug, you get 6 months of market exclusivity. That has been a huge boon for many generic drug companies. So there's been this rush for market share. And what I discovered is that some of the companies, they will fake the data, don't know how to make the drugs, get the approval, start selling the drug, and then while it's on the market, go back into their laboratories and try to actually figure out how to manufacture it, which is not really drug manufacturing. That's a science experiment, because that means that we're taking untested products. And that has happened in a number of instances.
I know that your book is a bestseller on the New York Times. Mm-hmm. The public is very much so aware of what's going on. What is the Congress doing about what's going on here?
That is a good question. And I think we'll know more in the fall whether the Congress is really going to take this up, because we're basically coming to the end of a legislative session here and summer is about to hit. I have heard from certain people in the Congress. I know there's interest, but, you know, given what's going on in our country right now, it's hard to say what issue is going to rise to the top.
Nonsense seems to catch our attention, and the things that are most critical, we put on the back burner because it's not expedient somehow.
I'd like to think that Congress will act, you know, but I think we don't know that right now.
Bottle of Lies is what we're talking about this evening on Health Notes, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest. What can we do to protect ourselves from the madness?
That's a good question, and it's one that, as you can imagine, I've gotten a lot. On my website, which is CatherineEban.com, I've put together a guide to investigating your own drugs. So this is really how to begin to understand whether you're taking a drug that has been manufactured by companies that are in hot water with the FDA. So what I recommend, first of all, if you're taking a maintenance medication, which means every day, first thing to know is who's the manufacturer. We all go to the pharmacy and we just get a bottle of pills and we take it and we don't think twice about who made it or where. But patients can begin to track that information. So the manufacturer name should be on the dispensing label. If it isn't, you should ask the pharmacist. Then what you can do, the FDA lists what are called warning letters on its website. So you can find out, has the manufacturer gotten a warning letter from the FDA? Has it been in trouble for any certain lapses, sterility lapses, data fabrication, those sorts of things? Then there's another place that you can look, which is called the FDA Orange Book, which tells you who are the manufacturers that make a given drug. So what I do, because of what I know, is I'll ask my pharmacist to switch to a different manufacturer. There are certain manufacturers whose drugs I won't take. Another thing that patients can do is look for what's called an authorized generic. The brand name company has authorized the generic company to make a drug. They've handed over the recipe, and sometimes those authorized generics are even made in the same manufacturing plants. But it's crazy that we should have to be detectives when it comes to our own drugs. I recognize it's nuts.
Is there a responsibility on the part of physicians regarding the prescribing of these medications? Are they not implicated somehow in this process?
I wouldn't say they're implicated. I would say that some of them are unwitting, and some of them understand this issue and spend a lot of time fighting with insurance companies on their patients' behalf. The doctors who prescribe what are called narrow therapeutic index drugs, so those are drugs that require very precise dosing, are well aware that switches to certain manufacturers can make their patients unstable. You know, and those are the doctors who log a lot of time fighting with insurance companies for their patients because, you know, by and large, insurers won't cover a brand name drug when a generic is available. And the FDA maintains that all the drugs are interchangeable. You know, so it's really left us all with a series of bad options.
Tell our listeners again your website address.
KatherineEban.com, KatherineEban.com.
Thank you so much for this work and for this information. Bottle of Lies is the name of the book, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Katherine Eban has been our guest. This is a story that CBS Morning Program did on generic drugs, one specific area of it.
Facilities, and it's a story you'll see only on CBS this morning. they're not the only ones. Iban says a major part of the problem is the FDA's efforts to regulate overseas drug production. Our entire drug supply has changed. None of these drugs are overseas, and the FDA is forced to be a global agency. So the question is it up to the task or not? And how well is that going for them, did you find? Very badly. She explains that while FDA inspectors in the U.S. often show up at plants unannounced, overseas companies are frequently warned weeks in advance that inspectors are coming. But these inspections that are taking place overseas are essentially staged inspections. Staged, what do you mean by staged? They're staged by the companies. The FDA told us in a statement that it inspects all brand name and generic manufacturing facilities around the world and says it's conducted a number of unannounced inspections at foreign plants when the agency has information from a whistleblower or when the FDA is investigating a drug safety issue. But this former FDA investigator told us when he and others dug deeper into the records of those companies, they found serious problems. Did you see problems that you considered to be We're not showing his face or using his real voice, but reports he and other inspectors filed show they found numerous generic drug makers falsifying records, covering up manufacturing problems, and attempting to hide poor test results. If the data is not accurate, or if the data is falsified, do we know what the drug is that's coming out on the end for sure? The FDA says it's modernized its policies in recent years and that Americans can be confident in the quality of the products the FDA approves. But those inspection reports came as unwelcome news to Dr. Starling.
My initial reaction is anger to falsify information, to manufacture and make a profit on a drug. It's just unconscionable to believe that that could happen.
Well, a group that represents generic drug makers disagrees. It says the industry is contributing hundreds of millions of dollars to help the FDA increase the frequency of inspections. And it notes if there are issues going undetected by the FDA, there would be severe health issues in this country.
So, Anna, I watched the story and I just think it's so scary. So how do you know where your generic drugs are made, where they're coming from?
You know, it's a really difficult thing. One of the problems there is the sort of the lack of public information. You can ask your pharmacist which company made your generic medication, but you're going to have to do some research to figure out whether that company has ever had to recall products or has been found to have had manufacturing issues. And it's really difficult, if not impossible, to find out where the companies actually make the drugs, as in which country. The FDA told us that that's considered confidential information under federal law.
That's very disturbing, because I could ask a question, they could tell me the Warner Company, I wouldn't know what that meant. Yeah, for those of us who buy generic drugs a lot, it's very disconcerting.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Casket Cassette at the 7th Street Entry, Thursday, August 13th.
Dark wave post-punkers Casket Cassette storm the 7th Street Entry stage with their signature sound of brooding synth goth.
They're touring with their latest release, Reducer, an album that breathes with the air of life temporarily stranded between departures.
Casket Cassette wraps their music in the old, rotted hope that someone might reach into the wreckage and switch the current back on. Opening the show is Stranger Gallery and Stairway.
More information about Casket Cassette at the 7th Street entry is available at first-avenue.com.
Our last segment will deal with cancer-causing foods and drinks.
Alcohol. An American study that followed the diet and lifestyles of more than 200,000 women for almost 14 years found that postmenopausal women who drank one drink per day or less had an almost 30% increase in breast cancer rates compared to women who did not drink at all. Alcohol use is the second leading cause of cancer, right behind tobacco use. While a moderate or low consumption of alcohol can be healthy and lead to a reduced risk of heart disease, excessive drinking is known to cause heart failure, stroke, and sudden death. In 2007, experts working for the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer looked at the scientific evidence regarding cancer and alcohol use from 27 different studies. They found sufficient evidence to state that excessive alcohol use is the main cause of mouth, esophagus, liver, colon, mouth, rectum, and female breast cancers. Don't fret. You can still enjoy that glass of wine with dinner, but, for your health's sake, no more than one. 9. Hydrogenated oils. Let's start from the point that all hydrogenated oils are vegetable oils. Vegetable oils cannot be extracted naturally like butter is. Vegetable oils must be chemically removed from their source, and then they are changed to be more acceptable to consumers. They are frequently deodorized and colored to look appealing. All vegetable oils contain high levels of omega-6 fatty acids. An excess of omega-6 fatty acids cause health problems, such as heart disease and an increase in various cancers, especially skin cancer. You need a good balance of both omega-3 and omega-6. Try to get plenty of omega-3 every day. You can do this in the form of supplements and grass-fed meats. Also, fatty fish such as salmon and mackerel are a very good source of omega-3. Hydrogenated oils are used to preserve processed foods and keep them looking appealing for as long as possible. Hydrogenated oils influence our cell membranes' structure and flexibility, which is linked to cancer.
8. Foods that are highly salted, pickled, or smoked. Foods that are cured by use of nitrates or nitrites act as preservatives as well as adding color to the meat. Although nitrates do not cause cancer in and of themselves, under certain conditions these chemicals change once they are inside the body into N-nitrosyl composites. It's this N-nitrosyl that is associated with a greater increase the risk of developing cancers. Smoking foods such as meat or nuts causes these food items to absorb considerable amounts of the tar the smoke produces. Tar is a known carcinogen. Meats such as bacon, sausage, bologna, and salami are high in fat and salt. Pickled foods are also very high in salts. There is overwhelming evidence that eating these types of foods greatly increases the risk of colorectal cancer and higher rates of stomach cancer. The rates of stomach cancer are much greater in places such as Japan, where a traditional diet contains many foods that are highly salted and/or smoked. 7. Highly processed white flours. Most of you have already heard by now that white flour is not a good thing, but you most likely have no idea just how bad it really is for your health. Refining grains destroys its natural nutrients. Mills are no longer content with waiting for their flour to whiten with time. Mills now bleach flour with a chemical called chlorine gas. The EPA states that chlorine gas is a dangerous irritant that is not safe to inhale and in large quantities can be lethal. White flour lurks in many processed foods. White processed flour has a very high glycemic rate which quickly raises the blood sugar level and insulin levels, which can be a direct cause of diabetes, not to mention it is believed that it spreads cancer cells by feeding the cells directly. Cancerous tumors feed mostly on the sugars in your bloodstream. By avoiding refined grains such as white flour, you can avoid, or at the very least, starve tumors. 6. Processed meats. What exactly are processed meats? This is a long list that includes, but is not limited to, sausages, hot dogs, bacon, most lunch meats like bologna or pimento loaf.
Researchers who wrote in the Journal of BMC Medicine said that the excessive salts and chemicals that are used when making processed meats are damaging to your health. The study showed that one in every 17 people who were involved in the study died, and those who ate 160 grams or more of processed meats increased their risk of early death as much as 44% within 12 years as opposed to those who ate 20 grams or less. This study involved people from 10 European countries and went on for almost 13 years. All these processed meats contain numerous chemicals and preservatives, including sodium nitrates, which make them look appealing and fresh but are well-known carcinogens. Smoking meats seem to be particularly bad as the meat picks up tar from the smoking process. Yes, tar, the same deadly ingredient that cigarette smoke contains. 5. Canned tomatoes. Actually, most canned foods are a concern because of what the can is lined with. The lining of almost all canned foods are made with a chemical called bisphenol A, or BPA. A study published in May of 2013 by the Proceeding of the National Academy of Sciences showed that BPA actually affects the way genes work inside the brain of rats. Even the FDA agrees that there is a problem with BPA as it is supporting efforts to either replace or at the very least, to minimize the amounts found in canned foods. You know, it must be bad when even the very lax FDA is concerned. Tomatoes are exceptionally dangerous due to their high acidity, which seems to cause BPA to leach from the lining of the can into the tomatoes themselves. The level of BPA can be so high, in fact. You should seriously consider not feeding them to children. Due to FDA laws, there are no standards for labeling BPA, so simply because a can does not say it has it does not mean that it does not contain BPA. Be safe and avoid cans. Cook fresh or buy glass bottles. 4. Potato chips. Yes, we know, potato chips are cheap, great tasting, quick snack. However, the negative effects they have on your body may not be worth the little bit of pleasure you derive from these crispy snacks. Potato chips are high in both fat and calories, which are sure to bring on weight gain. A study done in the New England Journal of Medicine found that eating just 1 ounce of potato chips per day caused an average 2-pound weight gain in 1 year. Besides being full of trans fats, which can cause high cholesterol in most people, they have excessive sodium levels, which, for many people, cause high blood pressure. Potato chips have artificial flavors, numerous preservatives, and colors as well, which is something else your body doesn't need. Potato chips are fried in high temperatures to make them crispy, but this also causes them to make a material called acrylamide, a known carcinogen that is also found in cigarettes. It's hard to say no to your kids' demands for chips sometimes, therefore, as a sneaky alternative, buy them baked potato chips or tortilla chips, which are at least lower in both fat and calories. Air pop popcorn and whole wheat pretzels are another healthier option. Or try baked apple chips or banana chips, which are dehydrated. Both are crispy and are far healthier than regular potato chips. 3. Farmed salmon. Although fish sounds like one of the healthiest foods possible, farmed salmon is one you should avoid. Unfortunately, more than 60% of the salmon consumed in the USA is farm-raised. These fish are fed unnatural diets and are contaminated with chemicals, antibiotics, pesticides, and other known carcinogens. They live in very crowded conditions, which results in these fish having 30 times the number of sea lice than wild salmon. Doesn't that sound appetizing? Farmed salmon are fed chemicals to make their meat that reddish pink color that should occur naturally but doesn't because of the diet of chicken litter that they are fed. Also, due to their diet, they have less of the healthy omega-3 that we think we are getting when we consume fish. Studies have also shown that farmed salmon contain high levels of PCBs, mercury, and cancer-causing dioxins. Avoid farmed salmon and buy it canned, or look for labels in your market that state the fish you are buying is wild sockeye salmon. 2. Soda pop. Perhaps you heard about the recent study that was published in May in the American Journal of Nutrition. It found that people who consumed more than one soda per day had a higher risk of stroke than people who did not drink sodas. Loaded with sugar, sodas are an empty source of calories that cause weight gain and contribute to the nationwide epidemic of obesity.
Drinking large amounts of this rapidly digested sugar causes your blood sugar to spike, which can lead to buff inflammation and insulin resistance. Soda is often the root cause of gastroesophageal reflux disease, which is when the contents of the stomach leak into the esophagus, causing not only pain, but an actual burning of the esophagus from stomach acid. Although sodas are not a direct cause of ulcers, they are known to irritate and make those with ulcers have more pain. Sodas also contain artificial colorings and food chemicals like derivative 4-methylimidazole, 4-MI. No wonder soda pop has been shown to cause cancer. 1. Microwave popcorn. Those little bags of popcorn are so convenient to just stick in the microwave, you wouldn't think for a minute that they could be dangerous to your health, but they are. First, let's talk about the bag itself. According to Wikipedia, conventional microwave popcorn bags are lined with a chemical called perfluorectanoic acid, PFOA. This is a toxin you can find in Teflon also. According to a recent study at the University of California, PFOA is linked to infertility in women. Numerous studies in lab animals and humans show that exposure to PFOA significantly increases the risk of kidney, bladder, liver, pancreas and testicular cancers. Now, let's talk about the contents. Although every manufacturer uses slightly different ingredients, most of them use soybean oil, a GMO product, as well as various preservatives such as propyl gallate, a chemical that causes stomach problems and skin rashes. Now, they don't actually say they are using GMO corn kernels, but that's because the government says they don't have to. Even if they don't use GMO corn, you can bet they aren't using organic corn.
That was a list of the 10 foods that are most likely to cause cancer, so stay away from them. We often say we want many things, while deep inside we doubt it will ever come to us. The universe does not give us what we say we want. It gives us what we expect to get. You cannot fool Mother Nature. She gives birth to your deepest thoughts. And the principle is this: everything happens twice. First on the inside, then on the outside. We must literally create the energy of what we want within ourselves before we can have it in the physical world. What does it feel like to be wealthy, in love, in perfect health, totally free to do anything we choose? We must let the feeling well up inside and live as though the very thing we want is the thing we have. We must feel ourselves being and enjoying the very best life has to offer. We must think about it, talk about it, and expect it every moment. We must impregnate our total being with the expectation of what we want. As the feeling grows, the day will come when we give birth to exactly what we want. Affirmation: I expect all the best right here and now. That comes from Jannla Van Zandt's book, Acts of Faith.
An estimated 7.5 million deaths around the world each year are linked to hypertension or high blood pressure. Roughly one-third of the U.S. population has high blood pressure or hypertension, and roughly one-half of that U.S. population lives in the Bible Belt. Since high blood pressure and hypertension are major factors in strokes and heart disease, health officials have recently dubbed the Bible Belt the Stroke Belt. You may be saying, but wait, what's the difference? I thought high blood pressure and hypertension were the same thing. It is true
that they are often used interchangeably, but there is a difference. Basically, hypertension is a form of chronic high blood pressure that is very persistent. Either way, they are both bad. They both lead to strokes, heart attacks, aneurysms, and other diseases. Recently, research out of Vanderbilt University Medical Center studied 69,000 Americans who lived in the Southeast between 2002 and 2009. Of those studied, about 57% had hypertension and about 51% had high blood pressure. Those are some pretty staggering numbers. Over half of that population of 69,000 people have a much higher risk for diseases like dementia, aneurysms throughout the cardiovascular system, strokes, and heart attacks. Researchers point out that obesity was a risk factor for having hypertension and high blood pressure. They also point out that though treatments for strokes and heart attacks have improved, the number of people dying from high blood pressure each year has not, meaning we have drugs that are apparently supposed to save lives, however, haven't seemed to make much of a difference in the end. The best way to avoid stroke or heart attack is through diet and exercise. In fact, one study recently published in the British Medical Journal suggested through using complex digital mapping of the entire population of Britain over the age of 50, that if they ate one apple a day, it would save an estimated 8,500 people from dying due to heart disease and stroke. So maybe mom was right. An apple a day will keep the doctor away. Or maybe she should have said, an apple a day will keep the strokes away. This has been a health note by Dr. Jonathan Arnold of Arnold Chiropractic and Acupuncture.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org.
I mean, this is not the kind of music that comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
No.